Father, we thank you and we praise you today. We are looking to the greater one that dwells within us. We are looking for manifestations of himself throughout this entire service today, to be manifested as the healer, the deliverer, the miracle worker. Oh, glory to God, the strengthener. And we look to you, sir, as our teacher, our guide, our standby, our intercessor. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. To manifest Jesus, the healer, in this place. And we give you all the praise and all of the glory for every wonderful thing that's done, every wonderful, marvelous healing miracle, everything. Not only here, but online and around the world and all of the thousands of places and people that are watching and hearing. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And your word is life to those that find them, and health and medicine to all their flesh. If it's flesh, the word will heal it. Glory to God. And we praise you and we thank you. My. We glorify your name. We pray these things in the wonderful, magnificent name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say that again, sir. Okay, everyone stand on your feet right now. I just heard the word of the Lord say your president needs you right now. Father, we pray for Mr. Trump, whatever's happening right now. We hold him up to you right now. Whatever's going on, whatever's happening. Whatever, we take authority over the forces of darkness. We take authority over the wicked spirits in the heavenlies. We take authority over every principality, every power, every ruler of the darkness of this world, and we pull you down from your place. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. We praise you for it. We worship you right now. No, you don't, Satan. You're not getting away with it. No. You're not getting away with this. Nope, you've been bound and broken. Strength. We speak strength for President Donald Trump's body. We speak strength and healing, divine energy. Reveal yourself to him today, Jesus. He loves you, Lord. And we thank you. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. I'll do it. Yes, sir. We pray for Venezuela right now. For the deliverance of that nation. And we thank you for it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes. One of the keys to staying healed and staying well in your own body is to be ready at any moment to step in and intercede, to step in and make supplication for the people of God. Always ready. Always ready. And of course, to do that, you have to build, you have to build the habit of obeying 1 Timothy 2. And pray first of all for all men, kings and all that are in authority, that the church live in peace, honesty, and godliness. For this is good in the sight of God our Savior, who will, now here's his will, who will have all men to be saved. Now listen to this. And come to the knowledge of the truth, that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now you start doing that every day. Make notes where, and well, Brother Coleman, I just don't know much about prayer. I know that. But then that's where Romans 8, 26 and 27 comes in. The Holy Spirit helpeth us. The Greek word translated helpeth is takes hold together with us against. Our infirmities when we know not how to pray as we ought. For he maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, if you check that out and study that out, groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. He's referring to praying in the Spirit. It takes 21 days to form a habit. So you start that, but you pray for it every morning. Every morning. I pray that first thing. I pray it the last thing at night. Amen. Just pray in the Spirit, Lord. And I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and so forth. But always being ready and on call. Because God will call on you. And when he does, whoa, all kinds of good stuff comes out of your spirit. This is the reason the power of praying in tongues is so strong. Because he'll watch over your prayer life. He'll help you pray the stuff you forgot. And at the same time, you're edifying your spirit. Well, what's happening to your body as you're edifying your spirit? The strong spirit of a man sustains him in times of trouble and bodily pain. Father, we thank you today for what's happening in this nation. And we thank you today. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. All right, you may be seated. Now, just one more word about that. Make yourself available to the Holy Spirit. Nothing happens in the world God is really limited by our prayer life. He doesn't just come blasting in and just do anything he wants to do. If he's going to do that, he'd just make everybody get saved and the thing would be over tomorrow. But he can't do that. He does not have the authority to do that. He has given this earth to men. Are you listening? And the man, Jesus, is heir. But God is not running everything. If he was running everything, he sure got it in a mess. No. He's not the God of this world. He is the God of the church. And if the church will listen to him and give him an opportunity, he can run the church, which can run the country. If we do. Amen. Are you following me here? But now, I am going aside from the subject this morning. This has to do with healing. You make yourself available and say, Father, if you need, if there's something that you desire to do, but you need somebody to ask you to do it before you can move in a certain place, I'm just going to pray here in the Spirit, and I provide my faith, and I provide my my voice, and I provide my unity with you, and you just go ahead and feed the words into me, and I'll say them. Well, Brother Copeland, how do I know? That's called faith. Would you like me to spell it? Amen. Well, he's praying through me. No, he isn't praying through you. There's nowhere in the Bible that says the Holy Ghost is praying through you. He gives you the words and you're doing the praying. And don't forget to believe you receive when you pray. He didn't say whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive, as long as you can understand what you're saying. Well, yeah, okay. Thank you, Lord. You're welcome, sir. Thank you. Amen. Now then, faith begins where the will of God is known. Say that with me. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's the reason when you don't really know whether it's God's will to heal you or not, you can't have faith for it. Did you ever notice that when someone says, well, I just don't believe it's God's will to heal everybody. You don't hear this. Well, I don't believe it's God's will to heal everybody, but he's going to heal me. It don't work like that. When somebody says that, I just don't believe it's God's will to heal everybody. You know they're thinking, and I'm one of them, that he don't will to heal. God is no respecter of persons. Did you know believe in your heart, confess Jesus as your Lord, and thou shalt be saved? The Greek word translated saved is also translated healed. That, amen, Brother Copeland. All right? All right. Say it again. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Healing always comes. It's not always received. But if Jesus is here, the healer's in the house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now then, well, in fact, I have some videos here that I want you to watch for a moment. Go ahead, guys.
My name is Evangelist Lachey McKinney. This is my father, Apostle S.C. McKinney, and I am his personal assistant. I work with him hand in hand in ministry. We have grown immensely in 33 years. And all of a sudden, my body began to show signs of sickness, and I had ignored it for about a year. Then after a year, I started getting worse. Even though I was speaking to my body, but I wasn't seeing any results. And I, instead of getting better, I was getting worse. So I asked my father, okay, what should I do? He said, go on in to the hospital and find out what's going on. And that's what I did. When I got there, I took about two or three of the ladies from the ministry, and we were in the waiting room. They had taken the blood work. I think I stayed there about 5 hours. And then what happened was, when the doctor came in, he said, I have good news and I have bad news. And I said, the good news is I don't have cancer. And he said, I can't say that. But long story short, he gave me a piece of paper and he told me, this is a doctor I need you to call, a cancer specialist. And I did on that Monday. And when I called, I didn't have the money at that time to actually, I didn't have any insurance. I didn't have the money to get an examination or to even see him. I got a telephone call from one of our pastor friends who told me that she had already made an appointment for me to go to the Greenville School of Medicine. And when I got there, they diagnosed me with lymphoma cancer. And the doctor said I had only 30 days to live. They had given me a breathing apparatus. They said I was breathing like a 93-year-old woman. My liver was 200 times larger than what it was supposed to be, and so was my spleen. I didn't have the energy or the breath to do anything. I remember walking by the mirror before I lay down, and I saw the shadow of death, and fear gripped my heart, and I knew by the looks of things, I wasn't gonna make it. And instead of fighting, I kind of succumbed to it. And I remember that day when I was laying on the couch and he came to me, and he didn't sound too nice. He didn't show any pity, because he knew that I was in a fight for my life. And he said, you're gonna die if you don't get up from here. He said, you're a minister of the gospel, and you have to know that the devil is fighting you because of what you're doing positive in the kingdom. He said, physician, get up and heal yourself. That's exactly what he said. I grabbed my Bible and I began to walk back and forth. I read something from Gloria Copeland that talked about how we should take the word like medicine, and that we should use it just like we would medicine, and use it 3 times a day. And if situation get worse, to double the dosage. I would never forget that. And that's what I did. For 28 days, I had 30 days to live now. For 28 days, I walked 3 times a day, and I got my Bible and I quoted every scripture and I prophesied and spoke them over my life. And I didn't feel anything different in 28 days. But at the end of that 28 days, something happened. I don't know what it was, but I knew. Faith kicked in. Yes, faith kicked in. And I said, he was wounded for Lachey's transgressions. He was bruised for Lachey's iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was on him. And with those stripes, I am healed. And I knew that day that I was healed. And I had 2 more days to go. In the 30 days, that 30th day, I went back to the doctor, and they looked at the exam, and they took x-rays again, and they brought in one specialist, and they brought in 2 specialists. They kept looking. 5 specialists came in that day. I'll never forget it. They were talking among themselves, but I didn't know what they were saying. So finally he came over to me. He said, this is what it looked like 30 days ago. Where is the cancer? It's not here. We have to understand that the word of God is for us. That he's not just, it's not just something out there or something in the Bible. This is a rhema word, and it comes to life when we take it. That's what Gloria always says. To, like, if somebody's giving you a cake, it's not yours until you receive it. Well, the word of healing is for us, but we have to receive it. And so it's important for us to take it. And when we do, it becomes life.
All right, now, keep track of these now. She received, now that's the highest, that's the top of the list. That, you remember the centurion that said about his servant? He said, no, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word only. And he said, I recognize the authority in that word. You speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Well, Jesus said, he marveled at his faith. I've not found such faith in all of Israel. Now, what is that? Whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, it's important to realize faith cometh. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It has to. Amen. But that moment came. Did you recognize it? It came on that 28th day. She'd been doing that three times a day, every day. And you notice she wasn't laying in the bed doing it. Did you catch that? No, Apostle McKinney came in there and said, get up in there. Get up in there, girl. You're going to die. Get out of there. Amen. And she did. She refused to go to bed. When Dodie Osteen, John Osteen's mom, Joel Osteen's mother, had liver cancer. And she and John called Gloria and me, and we set ourselves in agreement with her. And the doctors told her she had just a short time to live. But she refused to take that. She refused to go to bed with it. And she said there were days that she just absolutely was so weak, she didn't think she was going to be able to make it. But she started reading those healing scriptures three times a day. And more often sometimes, three times a day. And walked away totally and completely healed of liver cancer. She is still alive and strong on the earth today. And the last time that we visited with her, I asked her about it. And she said, oh, Kenneth. She said, I do my healing scriptures every day. Every day. Well, see, that's the way you stay well. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Say that with me. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's the reason when you don't really know whether it's God's will to heal you or not, you can't have faith for it. Did you ever notice that when someone says, well, I just don't believe it's God's will to heal everybody. You don't hear this. Well, I don't believe it's God's will to heal everybody, but he's going to heal me. It don't work like that. When somebody says that, I just don't believe it's God's will to heal everybody. You know they're thinking, and I'm one of them, that he don't will to heal. God is no respecter of persons. All right. Now, watch this one.
Guys will all set everything up. We're going to get right in. I'm going to tell you right now, you better fasten your seatbelt.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In that name... Turn him loose, Satan. In that name.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to go and sign more and stay here.
Huh?
I'm going to sign more and stay here.
Okay, what are you going to do right now?
I'm going to pray for God and be my soul and help him with my life.
What else? What do you want? What do you want from God?
I want his hands on my heart and on my body. Deal me.
That's what you really come up here for, wasn't it? To get healed. Well, don't be embarrassed about it. Is that what you're going to do, is get healed? Is that what you're going to do? Well, then do it in the name of Jesus. Oh,
See, that's all God was looking for, is just a commitment. All he wants you to do is just say yes. I got some news for you. You got it. I know when that power leaves me. You got it. Now you walk off of here a new woman. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank God. In that name. In that name. Don't thank me. You thank the Lord. That's who you thank. Praise the Lord. Thank God for it. Well, thank God for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this? Hallelujah.
Kathy and Bruce. I think you ought to give the Lord a shout and praise.
Now, Kathy received her healing through the laying on of hands. All right? Now watch this one.
I'm Jenny Cooney, and I'm from Living Word Christian Center is our home church, and we're from Elk River, Minnesota. And I was painting with some friends, and I had just come down off the ladder and looked up and saw that I had missed a spot. And so I'm like, I got to go up and get that. And so I climbed up to the top, and I had to stand on the very top, which you're not supposed to do, and reach for the spot. And when I reached for the spot, the ladder started to tip. And my only thought in my mind at that time was is that I don't want to fall on this ladder. And so I used my legs and pushed it away. And so when I did that, it pushed my feet up. And so when I landed on the ground, I landed on PVC piping straight across my shoulders. And so I laid there for a few minutes and went, oh, that hurt. And so called the paramedics. And they came and took me to the hospital. They shot some x-rays, and when they came in and realized the damage that was done, they immediately took me into MRIs and CAT scans. And when they came in and said, you're not getting off that backboard. You broke your back in two places, and you broke your neck. The one in my neck was C7, and they called it a burst with a retropulsion, which means the inside of my vertebrae exploded. And there was fractures all the way around the outside of my vertebrae, and it also pushed back towards my spinal column. And they said they didn't want to have to do surgery because of how mobile that I was, because they would have had to fuse all the vertebrae in my neck. And so put me in the brace, and they told me that, you know, rehab for something like this would take anywhere from 12 months to 18 months before that I would have full mobility in my neck. And so I'm like, no, I don't think so. And the first night in the hospital, God gave me a scripture, and it's Luke 8:48, and it says, and he said unto her, daughter, your faith, your trust, and your confidence in me has made you well. Go enter into peace, undisturbed well-being. I had total peace about the whole thing, that, you know, God, hey, I'm getting a miracle off of this. So it was a Thursday night, first night that Brother Copeland was here. And I had my full body brace on, and my husband said, do you want to go? And I said, oh, you bet I want to go. And so we came, and Brother Copeland got done preaching, and he stopped. And he was walking back and forth praying, and all of a sudden he stopped and he goes, somebody is getting healed right back here in the back of your neck. And right away I'm like, oh, that's me. And he prayed some more, and he goes, as a matter of fact, you're not going to have surgery.
But I heard the Lord say this, I'm putting that vertebrae back in there right now. And you won't have any more pain. That will not be a weak vertebrae. It'll be the strongest one in your spine now.
And right away, I said, I claim this in the name of Jesus. That's mine. And so after we got done, I was just like, yes, this is me. And the next morning, I got up, and God said, I want you to feel the back of your neck. And in my brace, there's this little piece that was open. And that's where my C7 was. And he said, now feel back there. Because it was, when you looked at my vertebrae, it was pushed out, and so it stuck out. And so I put my finger back there, and I'm like, oh, it's in place. And so I walked into the kitchen, and I looked at my husband, and tears are coming down my face. I said, I got a new vertebrae. And he goes, I know you did, and stuff. And I so bad wanted to go to the doctor right away. And God said, nope, I want you to wait till your next two-week checkup. And I went, okay. And so we went in, and every time I would go in, they shot x-rays. And we went in, and he had the x-rays and stuff, and I just couldn't wait to get into the room and ask him. And he put them up, and he looked at them, and I looked at him, and I said, what do you see? And he goes, it's like a brand new vertebrae. He goes, it's like a baby. He goes, it just needs to mature. He knew what was going on. He saw all the brokenness in that vertebrae and that it should not have been a brand new vertebrae in there. So it was just like, it's one of those aha moments where it's just like, yes, yes, God.
Hallelujah. Jennifer was healed through and by a manifestation of the word of knowledge. Okay? But I want you to notice something about that. She didn't sit there and think, well, I wonder if that's me. No, and I can tell you why. She came there to get it. Huh? She came there to get it. Say it, that happens to me all the time. Jesus is the perfect will of God. Let's take a look in John's Gospel, chapter 6, please. It has begun. The miracle glory of God is in the room, and it has begun. Thank you, Lord. John 6, verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. What did he send him to do? Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. He sent me to preach recovery of sight to the blind. He sent me to set at liberty them that are bruised, and he sent me to preach the great jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord, which is supernatural debt cancellation. Amen. That's what he sent him to do. It is God's will for you to be healed, born again, baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, rich, strong, and good looking. Amen. Filled with the wisdom of God. Father, we thank you and we praise you today. We are looking to the greater one that dwells within us to manifest Jesus the healer in this place. And we give you all the praise and all of the glory for every wonderful thing that's done, every wonderful, marvelous healing miracle, everything. Not only here, but online and around the world and all of the thousands of places and people that are watching and hearing. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And your word is life to those that find them, and health and medicine to all their flesh. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now watch this one.
Where's she at? You got healed online? Watching online? What do you mean you got healed online?
I got healed online.
From what?
I had a stroke. I used to be a professional pianist and used to play in healing meetings like this.
Okay. And you were watching online from where?
Sir, from Farmers Branch in Dallas, Texas, which is about 45 minutes to an hour away.
Okay.
And I asked the angels to get us here. I said, husband, we have to go. My husband, Breck.
Right,
we
here's
have
your
to
husband?
Go.
Okay, so you...
And then on the way, you called for shingles?
Yeah.
My husband has shingles.
Okay, but I'm talking about you.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Me.
Talk to me. What happened?
I could start feeling my fingers again. They're starting to work. Like this. Like this. Like this. All over the place.
Come on. Your name is... Come on, church. Your name. Your name.
Your name is
Lord.
Your name is higher than any other.
Can she stand? Can she stand?
Your name is Jesus. I call you Lord.
So this vibrating, this shaking, tell me what this is, these tremors. What caused this?
Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
Hashimoto.
And it's she has over 80 illnesses and
stuff. Over 80
thyroid
illnesses that caused by what?
Bad thyroid.
A bad thyroid. Mm-hmm. That's your body temperature. That's connected to your thymus gland, correct? Your thymus.
And I almost died last week.
Yeah.
And I died three more times this week because my blood pressure won't stay high enough.
No. You came all this way.
I can feel my toes.
You can feel your toes.
Come on! What's the matter with this group? What's the matter? Come on! Move the chair, move the chair. Go.
Hallelujah. Now, Joan, where are you? Come here, sweetheart. I love you. Hallelujah. Don't you look good?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen. Joan, how long had it been since you'd played the piano?
12 years.
12 years.
I'd played since I was 4 years old. I started playing at church when I was 7. Then at 13, I started getting paid. And I could read anything. I'm a classical trained pianist. I have a SMU degree. And I was a professor there. And then, to be completely honest, 2 weeks before we got married, I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. And that started our journey as a married couple. We had a lot of struggles. And I had a really bad surgery go really bad. And I had a stroke. And I literally couldn't move a finger as big as a domino. Mm. And it was just too much of a struggle to get back to where I used to play. Because I used to play all over the world. I used to play at healing meetings like that. And
well,
it was such a depression
there's
thing.
There's 88 keys sitting right
well,
there.
You know what? I don't play by ear. I play by sight. I play by sight. I'm not a trained ear pianist, but I would be happy to play tonight. I'll bring my music and I'll play.
Good. Amen.
I've been playing every day. I actually play harder now than I've ever played in my whole life.
I'm so thrilled with this game. This
went,
is so special.
You went home and played, didn't you?
I went home Saturday night and I played for a solid hour and I bruised my finger. I did. And my dogs were barking because they'd never heard a piano before. They didn't know what to do. And we don't know what to do. My husband are like, he's always taking care of me. And he's like, oh, well, now you can put dishes away and you don't break them. And we have been blessed beyond, I mean, everything has just, like, everything has exploded. People see me in the Walmart. They see me in here. They see me there. And it's not, I don't mind it a bit. God is real. And all you have to have, I did not go there for any of that. I went there because I could move this. This is what I could do. All I wanted to do. And my husband kept saying in the car and literally in the truck, we had never been there before at night. And he kept going, I don't know which way to go. And we were like having a fight over the, you know, trying to go there. And I was like, well, I don't know how to go either, but get there.
She was about 45 minutes away from EMIC. And she was watching online when all of this began. And so they jumped in the truck and came to EMIC, and well, and then you saw the rest.
That's right. And we were emailing the blogger and saying we're 20 minutes out, we're 15 minutes out, we're 10 minutes out. Yep. And the guy at the gate said, are you the testimony? And I said, yes. And he said, you know, who to meet and how to get there and whatever to do. And we got there. And the man that helped us get out of the truck, my husband kept saying, don't let her fall out of the truck. She can't get out of the truck. Don't let her fall. Just don't let her fall. Because I have not been able to walk for probably, Julia,
6 years.
Yeah. Because my blood pressure, every time I would stand up, my blood pressure would drop. And in fact, I just told Pastor George, 2 weeks before that weekend, I was in ICU. They called my husband and they said, Your wife's blood pressure is 50 over 30. It keeps dropping. And we don't know what to do. And he said to himself, God, taker or healer, but I can't handle the pressure anymore.
Bless his heart. Hallelujah. Come here, Billy. Billy Burke.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is the young guy that started all of that over there, EMIC, the other night. My goodness, isn't this absolutely marvelous?
It's amazing. It really, really is. It's when you see this, I mean, we know this doesn't create faith, but it unlocks it.
Yes, it does.
It unlocks faith, and I think when that happened to you, it was so suddenly, as you teach on suddenly, that no one knew what to do but get excited.
That's right.
And when we see the replay, we get excited all over again.
Oh, yeah. Again and again
and
again.
It burst something. It burst something. And I want everyone to know out there that I did not go to run across and all that happened. I went there with the faith of a mustard seed and to testify that I could move 5 fingers. That was my testimony. That was it.
You were shocked yourself when you were running up and down there.
Well, wouldn't you be shocked?
Yeah, I would be shocked. Of course.
Her toes worked.
Her toes worked.
Well, 2 weeks earlier, I'd stepped on a tack, and there was blood all over the floor, and I couldn't figure out why. And then I was like, what's going on here? And I looked down, and I had a tack in my toe.
You had
no
what?
No feeling at all.
I had a tack in my toe.
No feeling whatsoever.
I had no feeling in my toes.
Wow.
Well, now that's... you remember she said, I can feel my toes?
Yeah, yeah.
Now we know what a marvelous moment that really was.
Life-changing.
And if anybody's ever played piano before, you have to use your right foot.
All the time. Mm.
And it has to be just at automatic. And according to my neurologist, it takes 1,000 fires to play one note. Mm. And she said, you'll never play again.
Wow.
Sorry.
Whoa. Woo! Hallelujah! Joan, thank you for coming today. My, we love you, girl. Hallelujah.
This has changed our whole family. I'm sorry. I keep talking and thinking you can hear me. I know you can't. This has changed our marriage.
Well, sure.
This has changed my children. This has changed my dogs.
She's been made whole.
Yeah.
And don't take it for granted, women, when you can do your own dishes.
Amen. This is so wonderful. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for this. Yes, sir. Thank you. And now, the future lies. Plans are being made. And I am revealing day by day my plan for you. The blessing plan is the plan, and it's the place to be. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, will now be your watchword, that you are filled with the knowledge of my will, saith the Lord, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the anointing that's rising in you to minister the things that you've learned that other people can know and other people begin to understand, it's never too late. It is never too late. People, stop. Many times right before the manifestation was there. And that's when Satan's pressure will be the highest, trying to keep them out. But because you never gave up, and because even during the times you wanted to and wanted to go to heaven so bad, there's just something within you wouldn't let you quit. Well, the devil will try in the future, but he's lost.
Amen.
He would like nothing better than to put all that right back on you. But his day is done.
That's right.
His day is done.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amazing.
You're coming to a higher place. Amen. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Now then, let's look at Acts 10:38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing, who went about doing good and healing, who went about doing good and healing, who went about doing good and healing. Amen? Well, if that's the will of God, then it's the will of God now. He never changes. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. For love was with him. Hallelujah. Love does not desire for anybody to be sick, weak, hurt, or broke. It's not his will. Let's go now to Luke chapter 13. Sickness and disease, the curse, is from Satan. Verse 11. Behold, there was a woman with a spirit of infirmity, who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Now, everybody in this house that has arthritis in your body anywhere, you listen. Anybody in this house that has spinal stenosis, you listen. Anybody in this house that's had your vertebrae fused together, you listen up. Amen? You listening to me? Any kind of anything wrong with the spine, anything, anything. Jesus saw her, he called her to him. He called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now notice he said it first, and then he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. Well, now, she'd been that way 18 years. How come he didn't do anything about it all during that time? She'd been there a lot of Sabbaths. And the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. Today. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you be Christ, or if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise with which this woman got healed. So I'm saying this to you. As the seed of Abraham, should you not be loosed from bondage? Should you not be loosed from infirmity today?
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. There was no sin and death until Adam sinned and died. That's what brought sickness and disease into the earth. That's what brought the curse into the earth. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, thank you, Father. Yes, sir, I'll do that. Now this, Brother Duane, would you come, please? There he is. Pastor Duane Munoz. Pastoral staff, Eagle Mountain International Church. And I believe you're still growing, Duane. Now you know how I felt when Oral Roberts walked up behind me. Yes, and I didn't know he was there. And he spoke to me, and I turned around, and he was standing there, and he said, I'm Oral Roberts. I literally said, ha, 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 ha. Amen. He said, I understand you're a commercial pilot. And I said, yes, sir. Can you handle our airplane? Yes, sir. I was going to hire a co-pilot 2 weeks ago, but the Spirit of God said, no, I have a student coming. He's supposed to have he said, you're supposed to have the job. He said, you're my man. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, God had a plan.
Yes,
now,
sir.
I had to get in that plan. And I was really slow about getting in it, but I had to get in that plan. Now, God's got a plan. He has a blessing plan. He has a healing plan. He sent you here today to get it. He didn't send you here today to try to get it. He sent you here today to receive it. Amen. And that word receive, like Gloria keeps reminding us every time they bring it up. Thank God she does. That means to take it. Well, I'll take whatever he wants to give me. Oh, shut up. Man, it's time for that kind of stuff to just get out of our vocabulary. Amen. You have to receive it. You have to take it. Faith and healing, the word, Needs a receiver. Anybody open?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Pastor, tell us now what happened with these 101 states.
Yes, sir. In 2013, my nine-year-old daughter, 9 years old at the time, came home with a tummy ache. We didn't know what it was. We thought maybe she just injured herself stretching and playing. The next day, it got worse. She was taken to the hospital. My wife calls me and says, you need to come here quickly, because they found a softball size mass on her left ovary, and it had enveloped the ovary and fallopian tube and completely had twisted it. So that evening, we were in a hospital. They did surgery. They removed the fallopian tube and the ovary on the left-hand side. We got a hold of these scriptures, these 101, what God said about, or God's will concerning healing. And we read these scriptures over her at least 3 times a day, if not more, every single day. During that time, the doctor came back 2 days later and said it was ovarian cancer. She's 9 years old. And so they wanted to take her immediately and go in to start chemotherapy. During that time, a friend of mine who's a minister got a hold of Sister Gloria's teaching on a particular teaching she taught. She said, whenever you have to take medicine into your body, she said, pray for it and bless it like you do your food.
Like you do your food.
Because it's going into your body. And I remember on that day, it was Valentine's Day of 2013. The nurses come in, they're dressed up from head to toe. It looked like they were in hazmat uniform. All you could see was their faces. But they're coming in with these medicines, these bags of medicines, chemotherapy, and they're going to put that in my little 9-year-old. And I remembered rising up, I said, I want to lay my hands on that. And they didn't tell me no. So, yes, sir, we'll let you. So I went, I laid my hands on it, prayed for it, told it would not do anything to her body negative. And anyway, she would have no negative effect whatsoever. But it would only attack those cells that were not supposed to be there. And I remember laying hands on them, and the nurses behind me had their hands on my back, too. They were in agreement with us.
Right.
She went through several rounds, never experienced one negative effect, never lost weight, never had any issues. Never had any issues, but we kept up with these. We continued to read these scriptures over and over. We even stopped and got the CD of you reading scriptures, and we had that playing in the room the entire time. And there were times when she would get a little anxious, and rather than reaching for a teddy bear, because people were sending teddy bears, and the whole room was full. She didn't want it. She'd reach up for that little speaker right beside her head, and she'd pull it down, and she'd listen to you reading the scriptures, and she'd fall right to sleep. The doctors would come in. They would send interns, and they would come into our room and say, we know about you. We hear about you. There's just a sweet presence in this room. And they would come over to our room all the time. Well, fast forward about 9 months. We get, she was quarantined from everyone. Finally, we got the okay. She's well. We decided to have a celebration dinner for her. We're sitting down eating dinner and all of her friends and family. That same day, we get a call from the doctor and says she's cancer-free. Later that afternoon, we get a call from the hospital saying the entire medical bills have been paid in full.
Hallelujah.
And let me tell you how God... The goodness of God. We walk into that restaurant, and there is seated Sister Gloria having dinner. And I got to go share with her what all that had transpired. When my daughter was, when the ovary was removed and the fallopian tube, Abigail was in the hospital room the next day. She was moving around, and they removed, after surgery. She says, Daddy, God's going to restore my ovary and fallopian tube.
Yeah.
So we didn't argue with her. We said, yes, God can do that. So we stood in agreement with her. A year after, the doctors found another little spot on the other ovary. So we went back, and they wanted to do a surgery. Well, we just stood in agreement right then and there. We said, you know, it's not coming back. It's not coming back a second time. So we began to start praying, and we declared that that spot, whatever it was, would shrink. And I remember one of our pastor's wives said, not only will they shrink, it's going to pop off. Well, we go, the doctor is the same surgeon who removed the ovary and the fallopian tube on the left side. He's the same surgeon that did the other. He went in to find what that spot was. When he went in, he said that the spot had shrunk from the initial size they first saw. When he reached out to take it, it popped right off, and he caught it with his hand. They did the test. It was benign. The whole surgery took 35 minutes. It was supposed to take an hour and a half. So 35 minutes later, I'm downstairs having a cup of coffee with the ministers that had come to be with us. Well, my wife, she called me. She said, they're on their way up. She's out of surgery. So I didn't make it upstairs on time for the doctor to speak to me, but he had spoke to my wife. My wife comes out of that room kind of thinking about what just happened. And she says to me, she goes, okay, wait a minute. She said, they did take out the fallopian tube and ovary, right, last year. And I said, yes. And she goes, well, the doctor just came in and said she's doing well, she's strong, and both fallopian tubes are strong and healthy.
Oh, glory to God. How wonderful.
She's strong, healthy, doing well. And I asked my wife, I said, you know, Nicole, did you ever ask about the ovary? Because he said fallopian tube. And my wife says to me, if God's going to put a fallopian tube where there was none, who am I to question about the ovary? It's there already. The doctor confirmed 2 days later, because he didn't want to talk about it. 2 days later, he calls to check up on our daughter, and my wife called him and says, you're the same doctor that removed it last year, right? He goes, yes. He goes, but you also said that there were two in there. He goes, yes, ma'am, I did. Anything else I can do for you?
Oh, give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Dwayne. Bless you, sir. Bless you. I love you, man. Now, if you guys will put up the 101, please. You can download this from Keith Moore's website. And I'll tell you what he did. God's will to heal. And Keith has a big book that has this in it. And that's the title, God's Will to Heal. And he went through the scriptures, and he put these in the first person. How do we know whether it's God's will to heal us or not? It makes little difference what others say about it. What did he say about it? Remember that God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34. He never changes, Malachi 3:6. So what he said to them yesterday, he's saying to you today. God's word is God speaking to me. Say that. God's word is God speaking to me. These statements are taken directly from the Bible with little or no variation. The verbs and construction have been changed to apply to you personally. To sum up the thoughts in some instances, also many of these statements are prefaced with phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, if you believe and obey and so forth. What did God say? 101 things God said. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. Your days shall be 120 years. Genesis 6:3. You shall be buried in a good old age. Genesis 15:15. You shall come to your grave in full age like a shock of corn cometh in his season. Job 5:26. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Exodus 12, 13. I will take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. I will not put any of the diseases you're afraid of on you, but I'll take all sickness away from you. Deuteronomy 7, 15. It will be well with you, and your days shall be multiplied and prolonged as the days of heaven upon the earth. Deuteronomy 11, 9 and 21. I turn the curse into a blessing unto you because I love you. Deuteronomy 23, 5, Nehemiah 13, 2. And remember this, I believe I receive it. I believe I receive my healing. I believe it. How do we know whether it's God's will to heal us or not? It makes little difference what others say about it. What did He say about it? Remember that God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10, 34. He never changes, Malachi 3, 6. So what He said to them yesterday, He's saying to you today. God's word is God speaking to me. What did God say? 101 things God said. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15, 26. I have redeemed you from every sickness and every plague. Deuteronomy 28, 61, Galatians 3, 13. As your days, so shall your strength be. Deuteronomy 33, 25. I have found a ransom for you. Your flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and you shall return to the days of your youth. Job 33, 24, 25. I have found a ransom for you. You know what His name is?
Jesus.
Glory to God. Amen. I have healed you and brought up your soul from the grave. I have kept you alive from going down into the pit. Psalm 30, 1 and 2. I will give you strength and bless you with peace. Psalm 29, 11. I will preserve you and keep you alive. Psalm 41, 2. I will strengthen you upon the bed of languishing. I will turn all your bed in your sickness. Psalm 41, 3. I am the health of your countenance and your God. Psalm 43, 5. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. Psalm 91, 10. I will satisfy you with long life. Psalm 91, 16. I heal all your diseases. Psalm 103, 3. I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from your destructions. Psalm 107, 20. You shall not die but live and declare my works. Psalm 118, 17. I heal your broken heart and bind up your wounds. Psalm 147, 3. The years of your life shall be many. Proverbs 4:10. Trusting me brings health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Proverbs 3:8. My words are life to you and health and medicine to all your flesh. Proverbs 4:22. My good report makes your bones fat. Proverbs 15, 30. My pleasant words are sweet to your soul and health to your bones. Proverbs 16, 24. My joy is your strength. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Nehemiah 8, 10. Proverbs 17, 22. Ha, 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 ha. I'm strong. The eyes of the blind shall be open. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim. Isaiah 32:3 and 35:5. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. The tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. Isaiah 35:6 and 32:4. The lame man shall leap as a hart or a deer. Isaiah 35:6. I will recover you and make you to live. I am ready to save you. Isaiah 38:16 and 20. I give power to the faint. I increase strength to them that have no might. Isaiah 40:29. I will renew your strength. I will strengthen and help you. Isaiah 40:31 and 41:10. To your old age and gray hairs, I will carry you and I will deliver you. Isaiah 46:4. I bore your sickness. I carried your pain. I was put to sickness for you. Isaiah 53:10. With my stripes you are healed. I will heal you. Isaiah 57:19. Your light shall break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. Isaiah 58:8. I will restore health to you. I will heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 30:17. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure you and will reveal unto you the abundance of peace and truth. Jeremiah 33:6. I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. Ezekiel 34:16. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I shall put my spirit in you and you shall live. Whithersoever the rivers shall come shall live. They shall be healed, and everything shall live where the river comes. Ezekiel 47:9. Seek me and you shall live. Amos 5:4 and 6. I have risen with healing in my wings. Malachi 4:2. Now the New Testament. I will be thou clean. Matthew 8:3. I took your infirmities. Matthew 8:17. I bore your sicknesses. Matthew 8:17. If you are sick, you need a physician. I am the Lord, your physician. Matthew 9:12 and Exodus 15:26. I am moved with compassion toward the sick and I heal them. Matthew 14:14. I heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew 4:23. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Matthew 9:29. I give you power and authority over all unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew 10:1 and Luke 9:1. I heal them all. Matthew 12:15 and Hebrews 13:8. As many as touch me are made perfectly whole. Matthew 14:36. Healing is the children's bread. Matthew 15:26. I do all things well. I make the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Mark 7:37. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark 9:23, Mark 11:33 and 24. When hands are laid on you, you shall recover. My anointing heals the brokenhearted, delivers the captives, recovers sight to the blind, and sets at liberty those that are bruised. Luke 4:18, Isaiah 10:27, and 61:1. I heal all those who have need of healing. Luke 9:11. I'm not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Luke 9:56. Behold, I give you authority over all the enemy's power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. Sickness is satanic bondage, and you ought to be loose today. Say it again. I take it today. Glory to God. In me is life. John 1:4. I am the bread of life. I give you life. John 6:33 and 35. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. John 6:63. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14:14. Faith in my name makes you strong and gives you perfect soundness. Acts 3:16. I stretch forth my hand to heal. Acts 4:30. I, Jesus Christ, make you whole. Acts 9:34. I do good and heal all that are oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38. My power causes diseases to depart from you. Acts 19:12. The law of the Spirit of life in me has made you free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. The same Spirit that raised me from the dead now lives in you, and that Spirit will quicken your mortal body. Romans 8:11. Your body is a member of me. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Your body is the temple of my Spirit, and you're to glorify me in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. If you'll rightly discern my body, which was broken for you, and judge yourself, you'll not be judged. You'll not be weak, sickly, or die prematurely. 1 Corinthians 11:29 through 31. I have set gifts of healing in my body. 1 Corinthians 12:9. My life may be made manifest in your mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4:10 and 11. I have delivered you from death. I do deliver you. And if you will trust me, I will yet deliver you. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Whoa, someone was delivered from nicotine, tobacco. Just as we read that. Well, hey, in fact, whatever has you captive and addicted right now, I declare you free. I declare you free. Now say it, I'm free.
I'm free.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
By the authority of His blood.
By
I am free
from all bondage.
One man that he was a young man that came to Keith Moore about this. And Keith told him, he said, will you do exactly? He said, I can't quit. He said, don't ever say that anymore. Don't be telling yourself or anybody else, you can't quit. He said, but he said, Brother Moore, I can't. He said, now don't, will you do what I tell you to do? Well, yeah. He said, every time you take a cigarette out of that package, you say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to smoke this to your glory. And he said, go ahead and smoke it. But he said, Brother Keith, I'll still be smoking. No, no. He said, no, you listen to me. You do exactly what I tell you. Okay, I'll do what you say. And so every time, and he said, every puff you take, you praise God. I'm smoking this to the glory of God. And he did that for a while. Well, you know what happened to him. I mean, it totally separated him from him. The Word of God will separate you from habits. Pornography. You are free from pornography. You are free from it! That's a killer. What number are we on now? Number 89. Thank you. I have given you my name and have put all things under your feet, including addictions. I've put all things under your feet. Ephesians 1, 21, 22. I want it to be well with you, and I want you to live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, 3. I have delivered you from the authority of darkness. Colossians 1, 13. I will deliver you from every evil work. 2 Timothy 4, 18. I tasted death for you. I destroyed the devil who had the power of death. I've delivered you from the fear of death and bondage. Hebrews 2, 9, 14, and 15. I wash your body with pure water. Hebrews 10, 22 and Ephesians 5, 26. Lift up the weak hands and the feeble knees. Don't let that which is lame be turned aside, but rather let me heal it. All lameness, all kinds of problems with the knees, the hips, the back, the ankles, anything that's causing you trouble in your walking, anything that's lame, say it. I let you heal it, Jesus. I take it now. I take strength in my legs. Strength in my hips. Strength in my back. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Number 96. Let the elders anoint you and pray for you in my name, and I'll raise you up. James 5, 14 and 15. Pray for one another and I'll heal you. James 5, 16. By my stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2, 24. My divine power has given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of me. 2 Peter 1, 3. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, 17. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may be in health. 3 John 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now don't come up to me and say, well, I just wonder if it's God's will to heal me. Yes!
decidedly yes. I said yes.
My name is Melanie Henry, and I am a writer for the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. In the early 1990s, I got very, very sick. I literally didn't feel like I could function. I was so weak, I couldn't take my kids to do their normal activities. I just felt like that the life was draining out of me. I don't know how to explain it. I didn't know what that was, but I knew I needed to get help right away. And I went to see an internist, and I was surprised to find out that my thyroid had died. Now, it just wasn't barely functioning. My thyroid levels were zero. So my thyroid was dead, like it needed a little resuscitation. You know, if we had a little thyroid shocker, it would need that type of thing. And so the doctor put me on Synthroid, which is a medication that replaces the use of the thyroid, and I started immediately feeling better because your body needs that thyroid working to function well. But, you know, I knew enough about faith that I thought, you know, nothing's impossible for God. It is impossible in medicine to renew a thyroid, but it's not impossible for God. So I went to my favorite scripture, which is 1 John 5:14-15, that reminds us that when we pray, he hears us. And if he hears us, then we have as our present possession the things that we've asked of him. So I prayed and asked God to give me a new thyroid. And I believed I received right then. So every day, literally for a couple of years, I just thank God for giving me a new thyroid. And every day I took my Synthroid medication. And then it would have been in probably late 1994 or early 1995. I was down here at KCM, and I was working on pulling together information for the Journey of Faith, the First 30 Years book. And on Wednesday night, I went to church at Eagle Mountain. And after church, I noticed that Larry Satterley was walking down the aisle. And I just had a prompting in my spirit to get Larry to agree with me about my thyroid. And because I'd done his story, and I knew he has amazing healing ministry. So I just went up and said, "Larry, I believe I've received a new thyroid. Would you agree with me?" That's the last I remember. I know he put his hand on me and he prayed something, and I fell out in the spirit. It felt like I was under an anesthetic, but I knew a little bit of what was going on. And somebody knelt beside me, and I felt my neck open up. I felt hands moving things around and all these things happening inside my neck. Nothing hurt. And then it stopped, and the person got up, only I believe it was an angel, and walked away. And I was out under the spirit for a long time. And then I got up and I went to my hotel and I went to bed. And the next morning I woke up my hotel without thinking, I took my Synthroid. And a little while later I was very, very, very sick. So I propped up against pillows on my hotel bed with a notebook trying to list my symptoms and figure out what I had. And it finally dawned on me I had every symptom of hyperthyroidism, which meant I had too much thyroid in my system, which meant I had a new thyroid the night before, and I got sick because I took my Synthroid that morning. So I didn't take any more Synthroid. I went back to the doctor, and my thyroid levels were normal, and they're normal clear to today. So I believe that I was calling on that resurrection power and believing for it to create a new thyroid. And the same way it resurrected my thyroid, the same way it brought Jesus out of the grave. You know, it was a creative miracle. And sometimes we forget that we have that in us all the time. Get under some good teaching at Kenneth Copeland Ministries and people who teach faith. And remember, God doesn't lie. You've got to choose if you're going to believe your circumstances or the Word of God. Always choose God.
We went up to Arkansas. It was a long time ago, you know, back in 79.
I was out on the porch praying. I said, well, if you have something for me to do, I'll do it. You know I'll do it. You make it plain to me, and I'll do it. I started washing my hair, and that came to me. I want you to teach healing. It was plain. It was just very plain. So when Ken got up, I told him what the Lord said. I never had even thought about teaching healing. I mean, I didn't even necessarily want to teach healing. And I wasn't teaching anything at all, much. In the fall, we added a service. I think the first one was in 79, in the fall. So I thought, okay, good. I've done this. I've taught on healing. I've done the rest of the year, I've done these three. We didn't call it healing school, but I've done these three things, and I've taught on healing. So Ken prophesies to me from the platform. I'm thinking this. This is my plan. Quit right now. The end of the year. It's over. And he said, Gloria, the Lord just spoke to me. And he told me, the Lord didn't want to hear this every few months. So he said to Brother Copeland, I want this healing school to continue until I come. New parts, everything, miracles, sickness to flee. Jesus is the healer here this morning. By His stripes, you were healed. If we were healed, we are healed. So what do we need to do? People are always healed in healing school. You take your healing. And so when you take it, do something. Do what you couldn't do before.
God's love forgives and heals. Forgiveness and healing go hand in hand. The same power that forgives heals you and makes you whole. The Forgiveness and Healing Package gives you what you need to know to be healed and stay well. Forgiveness, The Power to Heal, a DVD by Kenneth Copeland. Replace thoughts of doubt and fear with God's love, grace, and power to forgive. Develop a heart of compassion. Choose to forgive and stay free from offense. God's Will for Your Healing, a book by Gloria Copeland, shows you what the Bible says about healing and why you can have no doubt it is God's will for you. Find out how to overcome every sickness and disease with the Word and faith. Receive your healing and live in divine health today. Walk in forgiveness and walk in healing. Request your free copy of the Forgiveness and Healing Package. Visit our website at kcm.org/TV special or call toll free 800-600-7395 and ask for the Forgiveness and Healing Package. It's yours free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be an agent of forgiveness and healing. Offer good for 60 days.
Jesus is the way to your health, prosperity, and victory. If you've never received Him as the Lord of your life and your Savior, pray with me today. Right now, just give your heart to Him. Say, Father, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I take You, Jesus, as my healer and my Savior, and I give You praise and thanksgiving. I'm asking You, Lord, if You want to receive the Holy Spirit, just say, Father, fill me with Your Spirit. I receive the Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. You were born again by making Jesus the Lord of your life. Your spirit man is alive unto Him. You'll begin to hear things. You'll begin to hear Him, His direction clearer. And the more you get in the Word and the more you obey what's in the Word, the clearer you get to hear. The old life is gone. New life's begun. You've been made free. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are new creatures after we make Jesus the Lord of our lives. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And to help you understand what wonderful thing happened to you in Christ Jesus, we have a free salvation package. A book, He did it all for you. Two brochures on how to study your Bible and reading through the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs in a year, which is an awesome thing to do. And it's free too. So go to kcm.org.
Your faith gets stronger as you use it. Read your Bible. Go to a good word church.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. April 5th through 7th, the Copelands welcome you to the 2018 Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. May 31st through June 2nd, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Convention Center in Sacramento, California. July 30th through August 4th, bring your whole family to the Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Community to me is about never being alone, that you always have people around you, that you're doing the same thing, going in the right direction together, and you're always developing and going to a higher level with people. And so it never feels like you have to do it on your own, but you're doing it as a team.
Community is letting your guard down and just being you.
Community is partnership.
Community is all about ministry.
A place to find friends.
A place to build relationships.
Doing life together.
It's a place to get together with family.
Community is unity and trust.
Community is a group of people you can rely on.
My name is Jamar Speed. This lovely lady is named Stella Cecilia.
I'm the second eldest, first eldest daughter, second eldest child of Pastors Gaetano and Natalie Cecilia of Bible Faith Church. And been a pastor's daughter my whole life. I always wanted to be married. It was like my ultimate dream, you know. At 18, I was ready to be married. I was just like, okay, whatever it is, I'm ready, you know. I didn't really need to date. I didn't want to be dating for 10 years. But all of a sudden, my sister, who's a year younger than me, gets engaged. And I was just sort of devastated, happy for her, but just the idea that I've been left out and the idea that God has forgotten me. And I dated here and there many people. I remained pure always and just kept God at the forefront, but I was just always ready. You know, if someone was interested in me, I was ready to go on a date. I think I was searching for a companion that would be my helpmate, but I was also trying to fill a void that I needed to fill with God. Even though at 18 I had been touched by God and decided to live my life for Him, I still hadn't dealt with this problem I had of just being alone. I got accepted into law school. I went to law school with my sister, which was also a blessing because I don't really like doing things alone, as I mentioned, and I needed a companion, a partner. And so we went to law school in England. We had to move away from Toronto from my family. That's very close-knit. But we went away, and my sister was engaged to be married at the time, and again, younger than me. So that's now my second sister, you know, that's engaged to be married before me. But I was okay with that. I had dealt with that many years before. But I still found myself just being lonely, just naturally finding myself in a room full of people, but just lonely. And so I would just allow insecurities that tried to come in me to come out. I would just say things that were negative, and I was creating my world. And so I think when I got to the deepest part of my loneliness, I think that I had created that, and I just kept, you know, letting those thoughts perpetuate me, you know. When then I realize I need to change what I say, even if I don't have those words in my heart and I can't think of them because I'm so absorbed by what I'm surrounded with, I need to make them. And it's in His word. It's in His word that we find truth. It's in His word, God's word, that we find life. And so I was like, it's in there somewhere. And so I just opened my Bible and I literally used Google, and I just thought, I need, you know, loneliness scriptures. I need to get out of this, you know, this is just demonic. I just would cry and just cry and cry and cry, but I would read these scriptures out. And so, you know, like, for example, Psalms 137 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so I just read that out. Through my tears, I would just read that out. And so I started saying those things over my life and just creating the world, saying the world I wanted to be created. You know, my loneliness just completely disappeared, and I came back from England a new woman, just stronger, and just don't need to date. Like, I'm good. And lo and behold comes Jamar, who I've known since I was 14 years old. He took me on a couple of dates that he claims I asked him out on, but I know that he asked me out. I was available and he asked me out. And just my walls just started coming down. I just started seeing him in a different way. And then he tells me that he loves me and he's loved me for 4 years, but I need to think about this. I need to pray about this. And that was one of the first times I had ever prayed about a relationship, which is crazy for a pastor's daughter. But I just always would think, okay, you seem like a good guy and I'll find out about you as we date. And I didn't get much from God in terms of, like, you know, he didn't say to me, yes, Stella, this is what your life's gonna look like with Jamar. This is who you need to marry. He just said that this is a good thing. And it meant a lot to me because I had been in such bad things that when I thought of Jamar being a good thing, I thought, yeah, okay, then this is good. Let's see where this goes. And we sing together. He raps, I sing, and he makes lyrics, and I will sing on them if he wants me to sing on them. And it's funny that we're, you know, planning to be married soon because we both have this love for music, and that was an individual thing that now God has united. But I think because I was at a point with God that I was secure and ready, now he could bless me with what I had been believing God for so many years.
Stella had a choice. She could listen to negative thoughts or she could believe God's word. Now, you and I have the same choice when we come up against something that we got to have help on. She renewed her mind to what God said about her, and today she's confident, happy, as the woman of God created her to be. Hallelujah. It's God's will for you to be healed. He's no respecter of persons. Today is offering day, and I'm going to share this scripture, very important offering scripture. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Now this is 2 Corinthians 9:6. So let each one give as he purposed in his heart. In other words, whatever the Lord tells you to give in your heart. If you want God involved in your finances, listen to him as he tells you to sow. Or if he doesn't tell you to sow, don't sow. But you got to sow to get a crop. So today is offering day, and I'm going to pray over your finances. Father, we receive these gifts and tithes and offerings. And we believe that as the people sow in faith, they are going to receive back 100, up 30, some 60, some 100-fold, however they believe it to come. And we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, that you have designated us for prosperity. We are believers, and we believe it's your will to prosper even as our soul prospers. We love your word. And we take your word into our eyes, into our ears, down into our heart. And we believe it. And we act on it. And we release our faith. If you're believing God for your healing today, be healed in the name of Jesus. The same way you believe for your increase. Receive your healing. Be made whole. Say, I take my healing. I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Hallelujah. If you missed any of the broadcasts, you can watch them on the website or on Roku channel. Go to church this weekend and join us next week for our Thanksgiving week special. Until then, this is Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Text to give is available in the U.S. only. Every available voice. That's the direction Kenneth Copeland received from God early on in this ministry. One of the voices the Lord instructed Kenneth and Gloria to use was television. At the time, not many preachers were using that outlet, and in the natural, it looked completely impossible. However, in 1978, the Lord dropped into Kenneth and Gloria's hearts that now was the time, and the impossible became possible. Just months later, in May of 1979, the Believer's Voice of Victory weekly broadcast was launched. The Lord increased their reach and effectiveness, and thousands of lives were changed as they heard the word preached.
The Lord had me to sit down and watch this broadcast. I sat and I listened. I was excited. I learned more in 22 minutes. In the whole while I've been in church,
I was going through a hard time. I didn't want to live anymore. And one Sunday morning, I turned on the television at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was Kenneth Copeland.
I was listening to the TV on a Sunday morning, and I was about to change the channel when I started listening to what he was saying and realized that he was not just any TV evangelist, it was Kenneth. And I sensed right away that he was for real, that he had a true anointing of the Holy Spirit on him.
In 1989, a gigantic leap of faith occurred when the Copelands added the daily Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Dozens of guests have shared revelation from God's Word through this platform, and millions upon millions of people have heard this message of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around. Today, the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast airs on over 280 stations. 6 days a week, you can find the broadcast across the United States, Canada, and Latin America, as well as on KCM.org, YouTube, and the Believer's Voice of Victory Network with its many outlets. The network alone has a potential viewing audience of over 1.1 billion people. Additionally, the Sunday broadcast airs across Africa and is translated into Spanish and German for distribution. The daily BVOV broadcast is also distributed across Australia and is translated for airing in Russia and the Ukraine. God's Word is going forth with power, reaching as many as 3.5 billion viewers. And this is only the beginning. Together, we will continue to preach this uncompromised message on every available voice, declaring that
Jesus is
Lord.